on this 26th day of June 2011 in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we'll be reading tonight from the 13th chapter, entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. And I will give you the verse in 1 second. This will be text 22. So it's good if we can chant the verses. Most of you may not know this verse, so we'll chant just a few words at a time. See if you can repeat. Purusha,
Purusha,
Prakatisto hi,
Prakatisto hi,
Bhukte,
Bhukte,
Prakatijan,
Prakatijan,
Gunam,
Gunan,
Karanam,
Karanam,
Gunasango,
Gunasango,
Asya,
Asya,
Sarasad,
Sarasad,
Yoni Janmasu,
Yoni Janmasu.
Very good. Thank you. Translation. This is, of course, Krishna speaking on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to his devotee and friend Arjuna. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Purport. This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another just as one changes one's dress. This change of dress is due to one's attachment to material existence. As long as one is captivated by this false manifestation, one has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to one's desire to lord it over material nature, one is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a human being, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. How one is put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to one's association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental position. That is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, one's material consciousness will oblige one to transfer from one body to another because one has material desires since time immemorial. But one has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the science of God from Krishna. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature. And gradually and proportionately, as one reduces one's long desire to dominate, one comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. In a Vedic mantra, it is said that as one becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one proportionally relishes one's eternal blissful life. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakya chakshu unmidatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of the Sri Parampara, or disciplic succession. So as Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport, this is a very important verse for understanding how we are moving through different situations, different bodies in this material world. As Krishna explains at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, each one of us is what we call an atma or spirit soul. Spirit soul means, if you will, a little quantum of consciousness. Just like a sun ray is a little particle, has the qualities of the sun to a minute degree. A little bit of light, a little bit of heat. Similarly, we have Krishna's qualities in minute degree. He is a conscious being. He is a person. We are also conscious beings. We are also persons. And He is the supreme conscious being. We are also conscious beings. Eternally. We will never lose that quality of being part and parcel, as Srila Prabhupada would say, of Krishna. And we were never born and we will never die. So, how is that? Because each of us has a birthday. You probably have a birthday. You probably celebrated recently, right? Or soon. So, we have a birthday every year, right? So, what is that birthday commemorating? It's commemorating the birth of this body, this particular body. And the body is always changing. So each year we have a new birthday, we're a little older, a little larger as we grow, and finally we reach our maturity, and we continue to change, and eventually the body no longer functions and we hit death. But the soul continues on. We ourselves continue on. This is the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Now the question here, and what Krishna is explaining here, is what determines what kind of body we get, what kind of situation we get. Because it's obvious that there are unlimited varieties of bodies, not only in human species or humankind, but also animal bodies, even plant, insects, there's all kinds of species, and each one of them has a spirit, soul, or atma, and each one of them is a conscious being. And so what determines what happens? You know, and Krishna explains how we associate with this world. As human beings, we have the independence. We can decide how we're going to associate with this world. What kind of music we'll listen to, what kind of books we'll read, what kind of TV shows we're going to watch, if any. What kind of who we're going to associate with in this world. That is our choice, because we're human beings. The animals more or less work on instinct. The cats and the dogs, they're not making, you know, much distinction. They simply move according to their instinctual desire. But we have a greater gift, a bigger brain, a greater intelligence. Now, the idea here is that we want to associate, we want to determine our association such that we'll have the best destination. And even in this life, we'll have the best experience. This is called Shreya. Shreya means the greatest welfare, the greatest good. At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Arjuna has a very important a verse in which he surrenders to Krishna as a guru, as opposed to simply arguing with him as a friend. In the first chapter,
excuse me,
he says, Yakshreya ksya nishtitam bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadiman tvam papanam. That now I am asking you, Krishna. Give me a second here, just to. I'm trying not to drink water today. I think I can do it. Yeah, I know. I'm going to try to do it without drinking since it's near job. See, there it goes. I may have to sacrifice it. So Arjun did not understand what his dharma was. Maybe if we turn that down. He was confused about his dharma. This is the real theme of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the word dharma. Dharma kshetre, kuru kshetre. It's a holy place. It's a battlefield, but it's still a holy place, right? And it ends with the word dharma. Sarva dharma, paditya jama, may consider. Krishna says, give up all other dharmas and simply surrender to me. Practice bhakti yoga, loving devotion to me. That is the supreme dharma. So, but Arjuna, at the beginning, he was confused about his dharma. He says, karpanya dosho bahata swadhama pichami tvam dharma samudha cheta. The words dharma samudha cheta mean that I'm bewildered about what to do and what not to do. About what is right. What is the right thing to do. Right in what sense? What will bring about my best benefits and the benefit for everyone else involved. This is called Shreya. Shreya. So he says, Yak Shreya Ksyan Nishtitam Bruhitanme. O Krishna, please you tell me for certain how I can achieve my greatest benefit. He trusts Krishna as the greatest learned person, the supreme person, the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. I am now your disciple. I'm not in the role anymore as your friend, arguing back and forth. I'm your disciple. Means that the disciple asks the spiritual master, the realized guru, and the answer is given and the disciple accepts. Now, when the guru is Krishna, then what could be better? And actually, a genuine guru simply transmits the same instructions that Krishna gives. And this is why Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavad Gita as it is. He's not distorting. He's giving the Bhagavad Gita in the same mood that Krishna gave and with the same conclusion. To surrender to the person Krishna and to dovetail one's activities in the service of the Lord, and in this way to transcend the modes of nature, which Krishna says are what determines our destiny, as we associate. So, what is that Shreya? How can we each achieve our ultimate benefit? Clearly, in this world, if we've been going around and around in a different species and in different destinies due to our association, this is not our greatest benefit. We have the birthright being part and parcel of Krishna. We have his qualities in minute degree, remember? So what is Krishna? What is Krishna's basic quality? Satchidananda vigraha. He's eternal. He's full of bliss. He's full of knowledge. We have those qualities in minute degree. But clearly we're not in that state right now. In the body situation, we're certainly temporary, not sat, not eternal. We're full of ignorance. We don't know what's best for us. And we're not blissful all the time. We should know that it's unnatural not to be happy all the time. That the natural state of the soul is sat-chit ananda, to be eternally full of knowledge and full of bliss. So how to get to that state from this state? This is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, and this is the teachings of Krishna consciousness movement. So Srila Prabhupada gives us the clue in this purport, as he does throughout the Bhagavad Gita, is that we have to change our association. Now, there is association in the modes of nature. Let's explore that for a minute. What does that mean, the mode of nature? Well, let's look at the mode of passion. In the next chapter, chapter 14, Krishna will give detailed description of the characteristics of the mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness. And he will tell how to transcend them. So in the mode of passion, let's see, what's some of the characteristics? Ardent desires to enjoy sense pleasure in this world. Great determination to make money and wealth in order to enjoy that. Easily prone to anger when one's desires are frustrated. In other words, like a type A personality. Really driven to succeed materially in this world. This is characteristic of the mode of passion. Now, one of the symptoms that are one of the results of the mode of passion, and now what was the mode means that if you're in the mode of passion, you'll like music that enhances that mode. You like food, very hot and spicy food that maybe, you know, really increases your senses, get them going really nicely. You'll associate with people who like to enjoy the senses a lot, you know. In other words, everything that you do will be in that mode. This is why it's a mode. The mode of goodness is more or less qualified by a peaceful a consciousness, the desire to inquire philosophically into the ultimate good. You like to go out to the country and contemplate, sit by a lake, do a little meditation, you know. In other words, it's a different kind of mode. You're not completely driven by the senses. Mode of ignorance, laziness, dirtiness, prone to intoxication, madness, procrastinating always, you know. This is kind of the mode of ignorance. And the corresponding foods are there, music are there, everything is there. Now these modes are, no one is purely in the mode of one or the other. We'll find that sometimes we have, instances maybe when someone will really think what's it all about, you know. But his friends are such that, you know, okay, let's go to the bar, you know, and we'll talk about it there, you know. So in other words, the goodness and ignorance and passion, they're always striving to become ascendant in one's influence. This is what it means to be in the material sphere. But in spiritual life, in the endeavor for self-realization, we want to cultivate the mode of goodness and ultimately the mode of pure goodness beyond the modes. That's described in the 14th chapter at the end. That quality is one is equipoised in happiness and distress. One is a constantly striving for self-realization. And ultimately one wants to become fully self-realized and God-realized. This is what it means to transcend the modes of nature. And then, even in the midst of a difficulty, one remains equipoised. One is not thrown for a loss. One doesn't internalize and create so much anxiety and stress, you see. One has an inner ballast or gyroscope, because one is connected through yoga, through bhakti yoga, to the Supreme Person, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. So this is, how do we do that? Through association. Just like all of you have chosen to come here because you want to associate with Krishna. You want to hear the holy name. That's also association with Krishna through transcendental sound. The food here is going to be pure, a sattvic, mode of goodness, transcendental because it's prasadam, offered to Krishna, remnants. So the pictures, everything is meant to enhance one's mode of pure goodness, not these lower modes, you see. And so that kind of association, this is a guna sangha, you see, this will help us go on the path toward the ultimate good or shreya. If we perfect this process, and it is a process or marga or path, then we won't have to come back at all. It's not a question of good or bad species or good or bad birth in this world. We can actually end the process in this lifetime. This is with the ultimate shreya. Now in the Srimad Bhagavatam, another great literature you may be familiar with, this is Bhagavad Purana, which is kind of the advanced study. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary, very important study, and Bhagavatam expands on that. There are many verses that enjoin the living entity to take advantage of this rare human life. And that same word, shreya, is used. So one verse in the 11th canto, Krishna says, Labdva sudurlabham idam boho sambhavante. Manushyam artadam anityam apiha dira. Turnam yateta napatet anumrityu yava nikshe yasaya vishaya kalusarvataksyat. You hear that word shreya there. Hear the word nikshreya, means the ultimate good. So what is he saying here? He says, having attained this human form of life, after many, many births in other species, other situations, bahusambhavante means many, many births. Manushyam, human, a man-like, a human-like, a human birth. It is artadam. It is the only form in which we can achieve the arta, the ultimate good, which is the same idea as shreya. But like all other forms, it's temporary, anityam. It's not permanent. The body is not permanent. We're not permanently situated in human form. We can lose it. So therefore, one has to be dhira. One has to consider things carefully, whether I'm doing something for my degradation or for my elevation, for self-realization. So one has to be dhira. And having considered that, turnam yateta, immediately determined to strive for nikshayasa. Because the body, we can lose it at any time. Anumrityu yava, it's subject to death. So, nikshayasaya vishayakara sarvataksyat, because we've always had opportunity for different kind of sensory pleasures. But we don't always have the opportunity for striving for self-realization. So we have to take advantage. Means that we should pursue this process. Learn about what it means to practice devotional service. Just like anything, there's a practice. If you want to learn to become a good musician, then there's a practice. You go to a teacher. He gives you a book. I remember when I learned to play the flute when I was very much younger. So, okay, here's the practice book. You know, in music, they have what they call arpeggios, where you practice, you know, and scales, you know. And the fingers don't go such right. You don't make the sound so good. You know, it doesn't sound so great. You know, your brother comes and closes the door because, it's not, this all happened. But if you practice according to the teacher and according to the book, then it's tried and true. You know, you'll develop. Depends on your desire to get past the part that's difficult. So we are conditioned souls. Means we've been associated with these modes for a long time in different species. So the idea of transcending the modes, of going against the immediate demands of the senses and the mind, which are conditioned by these modes, is not so easy. It's a discipline. It's called a vaidhi bhakti. It means practice according to rules and regulations. So if you practice, you become a musician, you become a musician. You want to be a sports star, you become a sports star. You want to be a doctor, or a lawyer, or whatever, then there's a process. There's a book, there's a teacher, and there's a process. Here's the book. Srila Prabhupada is the teacher, and his followers who are teaching the same thing, are teaching this process. And the goal is the greatest of all. You may become a musician, but how long can you be a musician? You know, a mundane musician. Eventually, you lose the body, you lose the musicianship. You can be anything, lawyer, doctor, or whatever. But it's only pertaining to this particular body. But your practice of self-realization, that's for your soul. That's eternal. Whatever you do in the matter of progressing on this path in this lifetime, you will keep in the next lifetime. Can you say that about anything else that you attain materially? Bill Gates isn't going to be taking it with him. When he leaves his body, he's in the same situation as the poor transit guy on the street. You know? Everything is taken away. Krishna says in Gita, Mrityu sarvaharas chaham. As death, I take everything away from everyone. You see? Then what's left? Your consciousness. You see? Which adheres to the soul. If our minds and our senses have been saturated with this Krishna consciousness and service to Krishna, then that will determine our next body. And the best body for that is a spiritual one in the kingdom of God. That's the promise of this bhakti yoga. And it has been this path has been traversed by great souls for thousands and thousands of years and before that, but within recorded history. It's tried and true. But it's different than what we know. It's not material. And so it requires training and determination. And we have to be dear. We have to consider the matter carefully. So I ask you, please take advantage. You're very fortunate to have Sir Paul and his good wife here in his beautiful new center. How long has this been? Just a few months now, right? 6 months?
1 year.
1 year. We have been 1 year here. But it's a very nice facility. You can see how this is an oasis in the desert, literally. Literally and spiritually, it's definitely oasis in the desert. You know, just down the road, you have all the sinful activities. People are being degraded with the gambling and the meat eating and the intoxication and the illicit sex. You know, but that we need to be saved from that. This is a great antidote for that Krishna consciousness, and we will see that all of that is uninteresting if you simply get the nectar of Krishna consciousness, which is available here. And wherever Krishna's names are chanted, Srila Prabhupada's books are being read. So, if there are any questions or comments, we can entertain them now. Otherwise, maybe I'll give you a few of these poems that he advertised, that I've written. Okay, the basic lesson here is, as you act in this world, as you associate, you determine your destiny. It's in our hands. So let's associate with Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's prasadam, Krishna's words, Krishna's devotees, and make our lives auspicious. That's the basic message. Okay, so here's one or two little poems. This is one I wrote recently. Everybody dies, nobody dies. Wake up, then open your eyes. You're not that body, you're a pure spirit soul. Chant the holy name and attain life's goal. Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. Everybody dies, but nobody dies. This is the first thing you learn in Krishna consciousness. How encouraging that is, that you will never die. You're eternal. But you have to realize it, because if you identify with this body, then you'll feel like you're dying. But you're not. The first thing that happens when you actually die is that you realize, whoa, I'm not dead. you're going to another place, you know. And between now and then, if we act nicely, we'll have a very auspicious next life in the spiritual world. So here's another one. Now, of course, the ultimate goal is Krishna. Now, who is Krishna? Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is also this wonderful, all-attractive, charming, delightful boy in Vrindavan. Right? Goloka Vrindavan. The spiritual world is ultimately a place of loving exchange in the most endearing way. The most endearing manner. And if you read the Bhagavad Gita, or you read the Bhagavad Purana, you'll find in the 10th canto so many beautiful pastimes of Krishna that attract. So in the 10th canto, which deals with Krishna's Leela, both in Vrindavan and outside of Vrindavan. There's one chapter called the Venu Gita. Venu Gita means the song of the flute. Krishna plays that flute. And the gopis are singing of Krishna as he's in the forest. And they're meditating on him playing the flute and the effects that it has on the different elements of Vrindavan. So in the introduction part of that chapter, it's a short chapter, chapter 21, there's a beautiful description of Vrindavan, how Krishna's entering in, and how he's beginning his pastimes in the day. So I'll give you that English version of that. So see if you can just visualize now. We'll go to Vrindavan, okay? Vrindavan's rivers, lakes, and hills ring out with charming hums and trills as flocks of birds and maddened bees rejoice among the flowering trees. To those idyllic woods and glens repairs Govinda with his friends Sri Rama and the cowherd boys to taste the most exquisite joys. And as they walk along the way, absorbed in herding and in play, Sri Krishna, beauty absolute, begins to blow his mystic flute. With peacock plume upon his head and fragrant flower on each ear, he enters Braj's woods with tread sublime, a dancer without peer. His golden yellow raiment glows, his garland reaches to his knees, and from his lips the nectar flows and fills his flute with melodies. As Krishna thus begins his day with friends who sing his glory sweet, he beautifies the forest way with fine impressions of his feet. Vrindsamadhi culminates in this, to always see this scene of bliss within oneself and outside too. May Krishna give this boon to you. So if there's no further discussion, maybe we can repair to the other room. I prepared a slideshow for you based on one of my poems. There's also paintings, and the poem is there, and we can maybe sing the poem together or respond. And you'll see. It's a very sweet poem. No pun intended. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.